We've been working through the book of 1 John and the idea of, you know, learning to walk with God, to be in fellowship with God. And part of that is, you know, hopefully our relationship with God grows. It doesn't kind of stay the same. I had an opportunity some years ago to meet a fellow that I knew 20 years before. And we sat down and we had dinner. And I was kind of sad after our time together because I realized the things that he was saying and, you know, talking about and doing were pretty much what he was doing 20 years before. You know, it's like I hadn't seen growth. I hadn't seen that building of a relationship with God. And it's I mean, how many of us would say, you know, I really want my relationship with God to grow. I don't want it to stagnate. I don't want it to, you know, become less. And so we think about that, you know, that's what John is leading us to. Remember, you know, he's talking about our fellowship, you know, having in common with God, with Jesus Christ, with one another, that we're talking about, you know, that family of God kind of thing. And it's a growing relationship. And the cornerstone of that is loving each other, right? Loving each other. And that, of course, is what John turns to. And we're in chapter 4, verse 7. And I don't, yeah, you guys, some of you know this, that old song, you know, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another." 1 John 4:7-8. That's a song we used to sing, you know. My daughter's embarrassed. Look at you. Yeah. But that's a song we used to sing. You know, it's a cornerstone of Christian faith is that we love each other, that we care about each other, right? It's interesting. You know, John, in this little book, it's only a couple pages in your Bible, right? He uses the term love 24 times. 24 times he's talked about this, and this is like the third time that he's going to give us the command to love one another, right? And you think about it, you know, you would think, okay, so I'm engaged with God, and the Spirit of God is, you know, definitely one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. So loving each other should be, you know, a snap. It should be so easy to do that. And you think, well, then, but why is John giving the command over and over and over again? You know, it actually, you know, let's face it, it can be hard sometimes to love people. Do you know why? Because they're people. I mean, seriously, right? I mean, you know, how many of you are people, right? And how many of you have messed up with somebody? Right, you've said the wrong thing, done the wrong thing, thought the wrong thing, whatever. You know, we mess things up because we're people. We're frail. We're flesh. We mess up, right? And so this command is constantly out there for us to remember to love one another, to remember that this is something that is really at the core of our relationship with God. Love one another, right? So let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. He's just trying to make us say, you know, there's this, I used to call it a phone booth religion, where, you know, my relationship with God is vertical. Just it's me and God, and I hope you never find yourself in that relationship where you think it's you and God. That's a terrible place to be. That actually says you don't know God, right? Because it is not a vertical relationship alone. It is horizontal. It is, you know, reaching out to other people as well. If I say I love God, and you'll get to this, and I don't love other folks, then that says something's wrong with my relationship with God even, right? So this is, and again, but it's not easy, right? Do you think it's easy to be God watching all this down here, right? You know, it's not easy to be engaged in the transformation from being a selfish sinner to being someone that only sees what you want to being able to be of use to God and caring, loving about other folks, all right? So this command, this message keeps coming out, you know, love one another, because that is what makes our relationship, you know, right with God. It proves it. It's not like, you know, again, we can never get this backwards where, okay, if I'm a loving person, then I'm okay with God. No, I need to be okay with God so I can be a loving person. The two things, though, are so melded together. You cannot really have one without the other. And that's what John tells us here. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So here it is, you know. First of all, John, you know, in John 3:16, everybody knows that one, right? Right? Say it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him have an everlasting life. That's right. I mean, you did really good. All right, yeah. John, and then in 1 John 3, like 15, 16, he does the same thing. He says, if you see your brother in need, and you know God gave you his Son, and you hold back, he says, where's the love of God in that, right? This is like the third time that John defines love as God sending his Son, as God giving us what we needed, as God saving our lives. Now, it's a very powerful definition of love. Because God's love isn't a mushy kind of, oh, I don't care what you say, I don't care what you do, I don't care how nasty you are, I still love you. That's not God's love, right? God's love is, I love you, and I really want you to be able to be close to me. I really want you to be able to sit in my house and to enjoy our company and to have life instead of death, right? I want you to have heaven instead of hell. I want you to be able to not be separated from me. So I'm willing to give my Son so that you can come close. I'm willing to give my child so that you can have life, so that you can come near me and be with me. Now, that's God's love. And if you think about what John's doing, he's talking to us about loving each other, and that should be at the core of what our love is like as well. It's not the only part of it, but it should be at the core. You know, the bottom line is, folks, I want you to make it. I want you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know the joys and the glories and the peace and the goodness of knowing God. I want to see Christ develop and grow in you. I want to see you know him and be filled with him and to be strong in him, right? So that on that great and glorious day, we get to sit down with the Father. See, that's how God loved us. He loved us in a way that would help us become his children. We have to have, that has to be part of it. Now, in the chapter before, he did tell us that love meant caring about one another's needs and helping out where we can help out and that kind of stuff. That, you know, we take care of the family, we love each other like brothers and sisters, and we do care about things, you know, that life throws at us. We care about, you know, the difficulties, and we want to help each other as much as we can to get through whatever those difficulties are. But the ultimate difficulty, folks, is sin, right? The ultimate difficulty is getting, you know, past this present bad age, this present nasty age, as we read about in Galatians across the street this morning, you know. But the idea of getting past that and getting to be with God in peace and glory and love and all that joy, right? We should, if we love somebody, we should care about that as much as anything else, right? I mean, it's a big part of love. It's how God showed he loved us. It is a part of how we should show each other we love each other. We don't want to see each other fail. We don't want to see each other falter. We want to do everything we can to encourage each other, right? You know, come on, you can make it, you know. We want to, if we have to, put our arms around and drag them a mile. You know, if you gotta do it, you know, Because you want them to make it. You want them to live. You want them to know and that great joy and love of God. God, again, he destroyed sin, and he helped us by rescuing us from this world, and he showed us that love. There's this, spiritual need, a physical need that God cares about. But the other part of this says, where it says we also ought to love one another, it also is a debt. The word actually means we are indebted to love one another, right? You remember the story of the unmerciful servant? Remember that parable Jesus told, the guy that was forgiven, $50 million and was out there free and happy because the king had forgiven him all that. And then he saw a guy owed him 10 bucks and he was going to kill him for it. He said, I'm going to put you in jail, your family in jail, until you give me every bit of it. And when the king heard about that, he was enraged. Because the guy had received grace, the guy had received forgiveness, he'd received mercy and love and all that, right? And in turn, he didn't return that, he turned hardness and bitterness. God says to us, John tells us, God has given us so much. He's canceled a huge debt. He's brought us near and said, I want you to be my child. I want you to be. And he says, we owe it to one another to want that same love, that same grace to be in other people's lives as well. We want you to know God. And so it's not that we can ever pay God back. Can you ever pay someone back for life? For changing, for transformation, for plucking us out of hell and giving us life in heaven? Can we ever come close to repaying? No, but it is a debt. It is something, it should be part of who we are that we say, yeah, God did that for me. I should do that for those around me. I should care. I should want them to make it. It also proves that, he says nobody's ever seen God. Right, so this goes back to that telephone. I worship God, but I don't care about you. Well, he says, you've never seen God. I was talking to a brother this week about theology, and we had different camps that we came from. And I just said, he said, well, I'm working on my theology. I said, who isn't? I mean, I have yet to stand in front of the presence of Almighty God and see Him. And I'm sure that day I will learn a lot, My eyes will be open to things I never understood. And I will see, and I'll probably be learning for quite a while in eternity about who God is and how great and awesome and powerful He is. He says, no one has ever seen God, right? But we do see each other. If God is engaged in helping you through the struggle, if God is engaged in helping you to become right, shouldn't I also be engaged if I'm walking with God? See, if our fellowship, in other words, we have these things in common, if my relationship with God is intact, then I should be doing what God does. God cares if you make it. God wants you to be there. God wants you to grow. He wants you to know Him. And so I should be also engaged in that work with God. And that shows what? That I know God. That shows that I know God. That shows that God is with us. As a matter of fact, the better we do that as a community, the more the world might wake up to the idea, wait a minute, there is something different about this people. There is something unique about them. And, maybe they really do have something. That's hopeful thinking, that others would see it. But the idea is, that's how we know God is, by how God uses us and how God works with us. It's not, and again, it's not just this little room. God's kingdom is a lot bigger than that, isn't it? And it's like, how is God, helping me to think about those out there that might be going through different things, who are trying, stumbling, maybe staggering, failing. And we lift them up in prayer. We call them up on the phone. We write them a note of encouragement. We just, tell them, hey, I care. I care that you make it. I care that you hold your life together with God. Don't give up. Don't, some folks go through horrible experiences in this world. And one of the things that the enemy tries to do is get them to quit. Get them to stop. Give up. Right? And the message from God is, don't ever give up. Don't ever give in. Always believe. Always hold. Always call on the name of God. Right? That's, we're part of that, though. We are part of that. It's not, again, that phone booth where it's just you talking to God. It's God talking to you for other people, and other people talking to God for you, and lifting one another up and caring about one another. That's the picture that John is drawing for us. It's a picture of God engaged in our salvation and us also being engaged in our salvation, not just my own. You know, sometimes we think of our personal walk as that, and you know, again, I remind you, everything here is written in plurals. It's about us, we, you know. We have to be engaged like that in order to be his people, to say I'm connected with him. I have to care about what he's doing in other people's lives, and if I can help to be engaged in that, right? We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. It's kind of interesting the way John just kind of throws stuff together, you know. It's almost like a jambalaya where, I'm thinking, I don't know, you know. But you just throw a whole bunch of stuff and stir it together, you know. And here, as he's talking about love and he's talking about God being engaged in life, he just kind of goes through and say, what has God done? Well, God gave us the Holy Spirit. I thank God so much for the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit that lifts us up, for the Spirit that teaches us to pray and gives us wisdom and insight to knowing the truth from the lie and all of the things that the Spirit of God does. And he gave us a Savior so we could call on the name of Jesus. And he says we confess the name of Jesus. That homologia, that word, say we say the same thing. We say what God says about Jesus. That Jesus has power to transform. Jesus has power to raise us up. Jesus has power to bring us into the kingdom of heaven. And God has done this, all of this, given us all this because he loves us. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to know him. Again, so much connected to God's love and to us loving one another. Bringing us out of this world and, you know, making us ready for the kingdom of heaven. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love. See, again, think of what he just described. He said, God gave you the Holy Spirit. God gave you a Savior. God's given you everything you need in order to be, you know, in fellowship, in the kingdom of God. And he says, so we see we have to depend upon what God has given us to make it, right? God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we might have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. See, that makes a little sense, right? As we're talking about this work that God's engaged in. The work that God's engaged in is saving us, giving us what we need to get through another day, bringing us along step by step, being patient with us, right? Guess we didn't bring that one up. But, you know, being patient with us, helping us, you know, to make it to the end of the road. This is not a sprint, right? This is a marathon. It's sometimes it's painstakingly slow and hard, right? And he uses this word. This is the third time that he's used the word confidence to talk about how we are with God. Listen to this. If you are engaged with God, if you're engaged in the salvation that God is doing in your life, but also in the life of others, in other words, that loving action, caring about each other, doing what you can to help each other, being there, being strong not only for yourself, but being strong for others, right? If you're engaged in that and you're doing the work of God right now, what's it going to be like in the kingdom of heaven? When you stand in front of God with all those who've been so engaged, right? Isn't it going to be like a homecoming, a great celebration, a day of thankfulness, a day of peace and joy? That's what this word confidence, it actually can have the idea of celebration. The idea of, you know, I'm not walking in front of the throne of God terrified that I'm going to be condemned and crushed, but I'm walking in front of God as a fellow worker, someone who's been engaged with him, engaged with his family, helping, right, to grow, to become, to be ready for that day. Not in fear. Not in fear, but in confidence, in joy, right? And guess what? There is no fear in love. So, okay, again, keep it in context, right? There's no fear in love. When we're engaged with God, when we're engaged with the work that God is doing, when we are hoping for the same thing God is hoping for, working for the same thing God is working for, right? Fear doesn't really, shouldn't have a place in us in this sense that, you know, perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. We're not, it doesn't mean that you know, it doesn't mean you're not going to ever be afraid of anything. You get a bad message from the doctor, economy goes sour, all those things. You know, there are things that we might be afraid of in the short term. They might cause a twinge before we get on our face before God and say, okay, we'll be okay. God will get us through this too, right? But here he's talking about real fear, the fear that we've offended God. The fear that we're not right with God. See, the gospel is about being right with God. The gospel is about living a life that brings peace between you and God. It's about having a clear conscience before God so that when trouble does come and when trials come, you're ready to talk to God. You're ready to go to the one who can help you. The one absolute strength in the universe that doesn't change, fade, or falter. And we're able to talk to God because we're working with Him, we're engaged with Him, we're doing the same thing, our hearts are united in Him, we're caring about what He cares about, His family, His people, right? And so, he said, you know, we're not on the side where we're in dread of God or punishment, but we should have this perfect love that makes us again, in fellowship with Him. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must love his brother. This is a repetitive thing with John. It's the family. We care about what God cares about. We love what God loves. We want to see each other make it. So look around. That's right, look around. Not just at the person right next to you. Look across the room. That's right. Look at the people you don't even know where they live or what their names are. Who they are, right? You know. And again, I'm not trying to confine the work of God to one little space, because God is huge and He's doing work everywhere. But what is He saying to us in this whole message is this idea is, if I'm going to say I want to walk and build a relationship with God, how am I going to build that relationship? Where is the strength and the power and the you know thing that gives that relationship, you know, strength and growth? It's right around you, right? It's the people that God puts in your life that need help. And you know who that is, don't you? Every one of us. Yeah, every one of us. It's the people around us that need help. And that's how you want to grow in your relationship with God. Get engaged with what He's engaged with. He is trying to help people know Him. He is trying to help people, you know, find life instead of death. He is trying to help those who do love Him make it through another day. He's engaged with us, right? We need to be also engaged. We need to be engaged. And that's how we grow our relationship with God, by loving what He loves, caring about what He cares about, doing the things that He does, right? Caring, loving each other, okay? That's a great message from John, isn't it? Yeah, great message. Just the idea of, you know, none of us here. I always love the black and white with John. You know, you're going to be a liar, or are you going to be someone who loves God's, you know, people? I'll be one of those, you know? I'll take that side, you know? Let's let this sit in our hearts and sit in our minds and think about what God wants us to be for each other, as much as for Him. Yeah. Father, we thank You so much for Your love and for Your grace. And we ask that you will bless us together joy and peace, and give us a sense of awareness of those around us who need help, Lord. Let our hearts burn for them, that we can remember to pray for them, we can remember to call them, and just again give them that word, we want you to make it, we want you to do well. God is with you, so are we. Help us, Father, to remember those who need it, and to keep our hearts and minds straight as we are engaged in the work that you're engaged in. Thank you, Father, for including us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for all the gifts that you've given us, so that this is a very possible endeavor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sensitive and loving to one another and willing to help. And give us wisdom again, Father, to know the difference. Because yes, there's so many people waiting to explore, to take advantage of, and that sort of thing. And we pray again, Heavenly Father, for our pastor, First Lady. We ask again that you continue to always be with him again, Heavenly Father. Just keep them strong and help us to be sensitive and encouraging even to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Make sure you say bye to a bunch of folks now.